Take your Bibles, please. Open them to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1021. 1021. Beginning with verse 13, we'll read responsively through verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. And in your Scofield Bible, page 1021. Let's stand, please, as is our custom at First Baptist Church of Hammond, to stand during the reading of the Word of God. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And let's pray. Father, this is a wonderful hour, made wonderful by your presence and by the gathering of thy people. And the purpose is so that we can know something more about thy word, thy eternal word. And Father, such a great work has been built here, but it's been built upon thy word. And so we pray that you'd help us to receive thy word, to act upon that which we know to act upon, having heard thy word, that we might be better prepared to serve thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask you this morning to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to use a lot of words this morning. I need this normal, fellas. I'm going to ask you to turn my treble up, bass down, put it where it usually is. I'm going to ask you this morning, it's not right. It's not where it usually is. I know this. I've been here for 37 years. I want to ask you this morning to listen to me very, very carefully. I want to ask you to do something this morning for me. I'm going to ask you to explain Jesus of Nazareth. That's the title of my sermon. I trust that every word you listen to, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Explain Jesus of Nazareth, our Heavenly Father. This morning I want you and your Son to get a lot of glory. I want the people to love Jesus more when they leave. I pray you to help me as I speak and our people as they listen, please. Amen. Every child, sit up straight. Put your color books up. Every teenager, sit down and be still. Son, find you a seat now right quickly. Hurry. Find you a seat, son. Hurry quickly. Find a seat. That's right. Everybody look right this way. All of the pathfinders, all the bus people, all the mission men, all the sailors, even the truck drivers, I want you to listen to me this morning as I speak to you. I want to ask you to do something for me. Look at me. I want you to explain Jesus of Nazareth. I want you to account for his place in history. I want you to tell me, I can't quite understand why he has such a place in history. Why is he even known today? Tell me, what great thing did Jesus ever do to gain notoriety? He didn't accomplish a single thing that makes people famous or successful in our world. He only lived 33 years, and 30 of those years were lived in total obscurity. His work lasted 3 years, yet he is the most famous person who ever lived. Explain that to me. Explain that to me. During those 3 years, he was unemployed. How could an unemployed peasant who spent 30 years working in a carpenter shop and 3 years unemployed, how could he become the most famous person who ever lived? Explain to me. explain what he did to become the subject of attention that he was. Explain why more books have been written about him than any man in history. What in the world did he do? Why are more books penned than have been penned about this one man? He didn't even get to middle age. Explain to me why he has had more paintings trying to capture his likeness or reveal him than any other man who ever lived. He didn't even get half his 70, much less his 70. Just a young man. Explain why he is the most oft-quoted person in history. 3 years of unemployment accomplished not one single thing that would make a man notorious or make a man famous, and yet the most quoted person in history. Explain to me why more people want to be like him. What causes people want to be like this fella? You'd look at every criteria for fame and notoriety, and he does not meet one single one of them. Would you explain to me why millions are assembled at this very moment to study of him? 33 years of life, listen to me, 3 years of his public life, unemployed, and yet people by the multiplied millions will assemble today all over the world to talk about him, sing about him, speak about him, fellowship, praise him. It's eerie. It just doesn't make sense. Explain why more songs have been written about him than all the people of history put together. Explain why people still sing, "There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing." Tell me why more songs have been written about this one man than all of people in history put together. Please explain to me why more poetry has been penned about him than any man, that's any person that's ever lived. Explain why hundreds of thousands, get this now, hundreds of thousands of buildings have been built with multiplied billions and billions and billions of dollars just to let people have a place to come and talk about this man. Explain that to me, please. Explain to me why more sculptors have tried to chisel his likeness than any person who's ever lived. Caesars and Churchills and Roosevelts and Charlemagne's and Edwards and Georges and Henry's and Elizabeth's and Lenin's and De Gaulle's and Petain's and Tito's and Nero's and Hitler's and Washington's and Lincoln's fade into oblivion compared to the fame of this man. And what did he do? Tell me what he did. There is no explanation. Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and Will Rogers are autistic compared to him. But what did he do to gain this fame? Chaucer and Shakespeare and Bacon and Poe and Masefield and Keats and Shelley and Bryan's and Wordsworth's were illiterate compared to him. But what did he do? What made this young man so famous? MacArthur's and Eisenhower's and Patton's and Arnold's and Grant's and Lee's and Napoleon's are powerless compared to him. And yet, what did he do? Michelangelo's and Da Vinci's are clumsy compared to him. What did he do? Some men have been famous for books they write, but he wrote no books. Some men have been famous for plans they've drawn, but he drew no architectural plans for no edifice. Some men have been famous for buildings they have constructed, but he erected no buildings. Some men have been famous for battles they win, but he fought and won no battles. No medals grace his chest. no swords or guns or ammunition were in his arsenal. Some men become famous because of empires they lead, but he owned no throne. Would you tell me why? What in the world did he do? Listen, you tell me anybody that lives today who did exactly what he did, and he wouldn't be known outside their own block. What did this man do? Some men become famous for money they accumulate, but he had no wealth. Some men become famous for because of literature they write, but he authored no parchments. No parchments. Some men become famous for scientific discoveries they make, but he made no new scientific discovery. Some men become famous for schools they built, but he led no university. Some men become famous because of athletic accomplishments, but he wore no garlands or medals of Olympic fame. What in the world caused him to be so happy? This man that has influenced the world like no man has ever influenced the world, and yet not one single human criteria did he fulfill to become famous or notorious. Why? What did he do? Would somebody explain him? Why is he famous? Are you listening? Why is he the most famous person who ever lived? If he had been born in an emperor's palace, we could say he inherited his power. If he had accumulated great wealth, we could say he bought his power. If he had led armies of conquest, we could say that his power came from the sword. But why? Why? He had no earthly wealth. He had to borrow from a fish to pay his taxes. He owned no house. He didn't own a bed. He didn't own a cot. He didn't own a rollaway. He was not even born in a hospital or even a house. The guy was born in a manger, a stable, a barn. Would somebody, look, I think I'm about to talk a lot of you and not coming back tonight. Why in the world are you here this morning? You are here because of this man. Okay then, Buster, tell me what he did. What did he do? His parents were anonymous. He grew up in the carpenter's house. He lived in the most humble little town of Galilee. He never traveled. His entire life never went beyond an area about the size of the Chicago area. He never saw Cairo. I never saw London, never saw Athens, or even Corinth, or Rome, Ephesus, or Antioch. And in 3 short years was the life of his work. Yet, men have lived for him. Men have suffered for him. Men have sacrificed for him. Men have died for him. Why? Why would the Apostle Paul be beheaded with the sharp sword of the guillotine? For this man. All the apostles died as martyrs. For this man. Why? What did he do? Latimer and Ridley were burned at the stake for him. But they never saw him. One fella, 33 years on the earth, never had a job. Never was on welfare either, by the way. Never had a job, had no house, owned no property, accomplished no great feats, and yet this man, famous until John Huss was burned at the stake for him, John Bunyan spent 12 years languishing in the prison, Bedford jail for him. Why? Why would somebody explain him? Men have been boiled in oil for him. Men have been burned at the stake for him. Men have been imprisoned a lifetime for him. Men have been beaten to death for him. Men have had their brains dashed out on cobblestone streets as their heads were laid on the cobblestone and they were dragged along the streets and their brains fell out of their heads for him.
Why? What did he do? Men have been crucified for him. Men have been exiled for him. Men have been fed to hungry lions for him. What did he do? David Livingstone blazed the trails of Africa for him. Adoniram Judson laid their own flesh and blood into Burmese graves. And then Adoniram Judson laid his own wife into a Burmese grave for him. Why is this man's daughter in a foreign country today, thousands of miles from home and friends and family, to spend her life in a foreign country she never saw till a couple of 3 years ago? Why would she do that for him? What did he do? He had only about 500 followers. Most of those he couldn't depend on. He pastored no great church. His church was not the fastest growing in the world. It was the fastest demising in the world. He pastored no great church. He founded no great denomination, never has since either, by the way. He led no large seminary. He had a police record. The guy had a record. He was a fugitive for a while. And yet you came this morning in this rain. You're stupid. You came out in the rain this morning and you're going to be here tonight instead of watching the bulls. I said, you're going to be here tonight instead of watching the bulls. If you got an ounce of Christianity. Well, why? Why did you come out? Why do people spend yesterday bus workers out for 8, 9, and 10, and 12 hours trying to get little boys and girls and poor adults to come to church? Why? This one man who lived 33 years and never accomplished anything that men count as greatness. Doesn't make sense. He was condemned and sentenced by a Roman court. Criminal. By the way, did you ever think about this? He was punished by capital punishment. And yet you come this morning in the rain to talk about him and sing about him. What's the deal? When his family came to bury him, and friends came to bury him, they were embarrassed to find that he didn't even own a cemetery lot. Had to borrow a sepulcher in which to bury him. By the way, he had no degrees from a college. He was in no hall of fame, but halls of infamy. The most unpopular person in his town. The most unpopular member of his family. The most unpopular citizen of his nation. And yet today, multiplied, millions of people stood to sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Millions of people sang this morning. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Why do we do it? Had to borrow a sepulcher in which to bury him. He left no canvas, nothing on canvas and nothing in stone. He left nothing on parchment or brick and mortar or music. He left no monument or hospital or school or medals or office or empty throne or human accomplishments. Why was he so famous? Why do peasants and kings bow at his feet after 2,000 years? Why do millions today sit in buildings like this to praise and honor his name? Why do the rich and poor call him Lord? Why do men quit lucrative professions to spend a life preaching him?
Why do young people leave their homeland to spend their lives away from family and friends to tell of him? Why, after 2,000 years, do people still go from door to door to speak of him? Why, once a month, do churches sip juice and eat bread to remember him? I think of Lew Wallace, who set out to study so he could destroy the Jesus myth. When his work was done, the world was shocked when he became a follower of the one whose myth he had tried to destroy. Why? Why do men sing, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know"? They've never seen him. 33 years, 30 of them beaten in the carpenter shop, nails with a hammer. 3 of them unemployed, walking the shores of Galilee. No wardrobe, no house, no furniture, no family, no accomplishments. What did you do? Answer. Answer. He did one thing that no man has ever done before. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And that's why we're here. We're here to commemorate a man, the only man who ever quit breathing, whose body lay lifeless in a sepulcher and rose up from the dead to live again. We're here because we trust him who rose from the dead to come into our lives and someday raise us from the grave. That's why we're here. Hallelujah! He rose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He lives. He lives. I know he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. Thank God we serve a living, risen Savior today. And that's why we're here. That's all he ever did to gain notoriety. That's all he ever needed to do to gain notoriety. His sepulcher was not a gift but a loan. It was not bought but borrowed. He only needed it for 72 hours. So he was more than the herald of God's message. He was God's message. He was more than a proclaimer of the truth. He was the truth. He was more than a pointer and director to the way. He was the way. He was more than the restorer of life. He was the life. He was more than the chef. He was the bread. I found out why he's so famous. Never built a building. Wrote a book. Painted a painting. Chiseled a sculpture. Led a university. Won a battle. But he rose from the dead. That leads me to say this. He was God. He was God. He proved he was God. And that Sunday morning, they came to the sepulcher. They found a stone rolled away. You say, that stone was rolled away so he could get out? Shoot, no. That stone was rolled away so they could look in and find he's already out. He didn't need the stone rolled away. He rolled the stone away so you and I could look in and say, he lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of goodness. I hear his voice of cheer. In just the time I need him, he's always near. 3 cheers for a living Savior today. We don't worship somebody because he built a building. We don't worship somebody because he wrote a book. We don't worship somebody because he won a battle. We don't worship somebody because he chiseled a sculpture. We don't worship somebody because he painted a painting. We don't worship somebody because he led an empire. We don't worship somebody because he led a university. We worship somebody because death could not keep him. The grave could not hold him. Satan could not conquer him. But he rose from the dead.
since he was, I think I'd be wise to believe what he said. Tell you what, you take me out today to the cemetery. Let Deborah take me out and say, this guy's going to rise from the dead today. All of a sudden, one of those guys comes out of that grave out there. I'm gonna find out where he's been. I'm going to find out what he saw. I'm going to do whatever he says to do. Well, brother, since the only man that ever lived, apart from Lazarus himself, who only regained life because of this man, if my Savior, this man, of whom his bitterest enemies said, I find no fault in this man. And if the bitterest enemies said, surely this was the Son of God. And I'm going to believe what he says. What did he say? Here's what he said. He said that you're a sinner. He said that I'm a sinner. He said that because I'm a sinner, I owe a debt. And that debt will lead me to hell if I don't do something about it. That's what he said. I'm not saying believe somebody because he built a building. I'm not saying believe somebody because he had a degree. I'm not saying believe somebody because he won the Olympic gold medal. I'm not saying believe somebody because he built an edifice. I'm not saying believe somebody because he wrote a poem. I'm not saying believe somebody because he wrote a book. I'm saying believe somebody because he rose from the dead. And he said, he who rose from the dead and who has been the object of more books and poems and sculptures and worship and praise and honor than all the rest of the world put together. I'm saying if he said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those who forget God, I'm going to believe him. If he said those not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire, I'm going to believe him. He said then he should say to those on the left hand, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm going to believe him. You say, preacher, doesn't make sense to believe that there's a hell where folks that go that die without God. Doesn't have to make sense, brother. I know somebody rose from the dead that said it. But he also told us that he was the Lamb that came as our substitute. He also told us that that sin debt that we owe, he paid that sin debt. He also told us that he was the Lamb of God. He also told us that on Calvary, he paid the penalty for our sins. Don't you let that man across the street tell you he can forgive your sins. Before he forgives your sins, look and see if he has scars in his hands. Ask him if he died and rose from the dead. How dare you, imposter, stand there and talk about forgiving sins? Only he who can forgive sin is he who conquered sin. He rose, he rose, he rose, he rose, he rose. Hallelujah, he rose. Since he did, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him when he said, for God so loved the world, from his own lips, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever goes to communion shall not be... Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to believe him when he said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever goes to confession... Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to believe him when he said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso joins the church... No, 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 no. I'm going to believe him when he said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever gets confirmed when he's 12 years... No, 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 no. Whosoever believeth on him. Join the crowd that worships a fellow who lived 33 years. Join the crowd that praises a fellow who built no buildings, left no empty throne, left no lonely crown or scepter, left no beautiful edifice, left no commentary on the Bible, just rose from the dead. Somebody, I was talking to a preacher last week. I was preparing this message. I told the preacher Tuesday, I said, I can't wait till Sunday. I'm that way every week. I can't wait till Sunday. I got something I want to tell that's good. He said, won't you save that till Easter? I said, I am. Next Sunday's Easter. His wife thought Easter came in March or April. No, Easter comes every 7 days. morning. Why don't you bow before this humble man of Galilee who saw the birds flatter their nest at night and snuggle with their own, and saw the foxes go to their holes at night and find comfort and rest. And he goes up and down a mountain of olives trying to find some good place to lay his head. Lights are turned off in houses. People are alone in their own homes, hidden from the winds, the howling winds of the night. He had no place to lay his head. All I can say this morning, hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you bow your heads, please?